Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We're going to be called. I've been thinking, it seemed like, for the past couple of weeks on our business meeting coming up, and a lot of times, especially if you haven't been coming to church very long, you may not understand why we have such a thing, why church would even have membership and have offices and meetings and committees and stuff like that. And what I'd like to do this morning is just take a Sunday morning and briefly bring you a message on what it means to hold an office in a local church, what it means to have a job in a local church. Amen. And so this morning, turn this one off, all these other ones off. And this morning, I'd like for you to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So this morning I'd like for you to think on that verse. Well, the Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with thy might. And think on that thought as your job as a part of this church, or your job as a part of whatever church you belong to. Maybe you're here visiting or something on vacation and you have a job at your church. What I want to try to bring you a message this morning, what it means to hold a job, have an office or a job in a local church. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for help. We thank you for our strength. We thank you for the blessings of life. We thank you, Father, that we have a church to come to. We thank you, Lord, that we're a part of it. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus loved us and gave himself for us. Lord, we realize and know this morning that many times we take our jobs lightly. Many times, Lord, we don't take them seriously as we should. We ask you to forgive us this morning. Help us, dear God, to realize our great privilege and our great responsibility to live for thee. And I ask in Jesus' name today, Lord, that you'd burn this message in our heart. For that one that's here this morning, for every person under the sound of my voice, maybe that one that's discouraged and ready to give up, God, I pray that you'd encourage them to hang in there and fight the battle this morning. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'd challenge our hearts to live for you. May our church be more efficient, Lord, and more diligent, Lord, and vigilant to do the work that you've given us to do in this community. Whatever you do for us, we'll praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I bring this message this morning, I want to be turning maybe to a couple of verses of Scripture that I'll ask you to turn to. And we're going to try to point out to you what it means to have a job or an office in a local church. Now, I believe that, as I said a minute ago praying, that we take our jobs too lightly many times in as far as working for God and being in His church. And I want to get to that in just a minute. I'd like to point out just a little background on the local church, just a few minutes. And what I mean by local church is the fact that people in a certain locality, in a community, meet together in a certain place at a certain time to worship God for that certain purpose. That's what a local church is. A local church is made up of a body of believers that believe in Jesus Christ, who put their faith and trust in Him, and have committed themselves to be in a certain place at a certain time and to worship God while they're there. That's what a local church is. Now, there's a move in our country and land today to do away with the local church. It's a big world movement of saying, well, I believe in Jesus, you believe in Jesus, I'm a part of the church, you're a part of the church, and many people just bypass the local church and say, well, I belong to the big church up yonder, and therefore it's not important that I belong to any church down here. And this is mostly among the Jesus freak people, you know, that started about 7 or 8 years ago, and they started sitting around on the beach, you know, and saying, peace, Jesus is love, and everything's cool, and we don't believe in going to them old churches. We don't believe in that. We just believe in looking at flowers, and we believe in looking at nature, and God's out here with us. And just completely bypassing the local church that helped the torch burning for God down through the ages. And this morning, I believe this morning that God has one universal church. I believe that everybody in the whole world that's born again is a part of the one church. But I also believe this morning that the church is split up all over this world into little local churches and little bodies of believers who have stood in communities for years and years and preached the truth and proclaimed the gospel as light to that community. And I believe this morning that it's important that every child of God be a part of such a body. I believe this morning, let me down just a hair more, John. I believe this morning that every person that's saved and born again should be a part of a local membership of a body of believers. Now, I believe over in Galatians chapter 1, you don't have to turn to this, but you find both of these churches mentioned in Galatians chapter 1. You find the universal church mentioned in verse 13, where Paul said, "Before I was saved, I persecuted the church of God." Now, what he meant by that was, anybody that he found that wasn't saved, or that was saved, he persecuted them. And he told after he was saved that that big bunch of Christians all over the world was the church of God. That's a universal church. And then on down in verse 22 of the same chapter of Galatians chapter 1, he said, I went about preaching in the, and done something in the churches. And he used the word as plural, noting that there were different churches in different places. So there's one big universal church, and then there are little local churches, of which is like New Manna Baptist Temple. New Manna Baptist Temple this morning is a local church. Y'all, a local church, it's made up of born-again believers in Jesus Christ, and we've come together and committed ourselves to a task, believing that God's brought us together, and believing that by His Spirit we have the authority to work in this community. And I believe this morning that that's what a local church is. Now, I'm going to say something that maybe help some of you if you'll listen. I believe that it's important that you become a member of a local church. And I'm going to tell you why. Don't think that I'm just a preacher, and because I'm a preacher, I think everybody ought to belong to a church. I know there's plenty of people in the world this morning that sit at home and say, "Well, I don't see what joining a church will do for you. I just don't see where it'll make you any better. It sure won't save you." Well, I know all of that. I got enough sense to know that putting your name on our church membership roll won't save you. I got enough sense this morning to know that putting your name on a church membership roll won't make you any better. But I believe this morning that a child of God should do this for two or three reasons. First of all, I believe it's scriptural. You'll find in the book of Colossians chapter 4, when Paul was signing out that letter, he told these people, he said, "Greet so-and-so, and greet so-and-so, and greet so-and-so," and he said, "Greet the house of Nymphas and the church that is in his house." These people had certain houses, and a church met in those houses back in the days of the apostle. And that means that there were a certain group of people that went to that certain house at a certain time for a certain purpose. And brother, that was a local church. And I believe it's scriptural this morning that you become a part of a local church. I believe it's scriptural this morning. Not only that, I believe that it's necessary in this generation that you're living in to be a part and a member of a local church for government purposes, for governmental purposes. You know, I'm talking about for decisions that the church has to make. Now, here's what we done. Come together 3 years ago. We drew up us some bylaws. We got together. We started this church. And we said, we're going to have a membership. If somebody's saved and baptized and loved the Lord and everything, they want to become a part of this fellowship, we'll take them in. And we said, we're going to do this for governmental purposes. Putting your name on a church membership roll don't make you a bit more right with God. It don't make you a bit more holy. It don't make you a bit more saved. But the reason we do it is because of times to come. You know, sometimes we might want to buy a piece of property, or sometimes we might want to buy a bus or do something, and we're going to have to figure out God's will on a certain thing, and the people get a chance to express how they feel. And that's why we vote on certain things. And majority cases and things like that as following God's plan. All right, do you realize this morning if there wasn't no such thing as church membership, that we could just, and just anybody that come in had just as much right to say as anybody else, do you realize what a mess we could get in? My dear friends, this morning there's a lot of people. I know churches this morning that I know a good church, matter of fact, that doesn't have no kind of membership, and as long as you come and sit in there, you have just as much right to say what goes on as anybody else that's sitting in there. Well, I don't know if you realize it this morning, but that could be disastrous if the wrong thing happened. Just suppose this morning that I said, we're going to vote in this church next Sunday night, and we're going to vote on what to do about the liquor situation in our county. And everybody that's here, we don't have no membership now. Just anybody that comes in gets to vote. And brother, word got out all over town that we was going to do that. And this bootlegger told that, and the other bootlegger told the other one, and the other bootlegger told... First, you know, we got every drunken bootlegger in the country here sitting on our pews next Sunday night because they get to vote. They get just as much right as anybody else. You see this morning why it's important that a church have a membership. Because, brother, we have to stand for certain things and stand against certain things, and we bonded ourselves together in order to do that. But not only that, this morning I believe that it's for fellowship. It's good to belong to a church because you got a place to that you can call your own. You got a place that you call my church. You got a church where you can tell I'm a part of that church. You don't just say I just drop in on them every once in a while. You just say I am a part of what God is doing in that certain place. I believe this morning that it's important because of fellowship purpose. Now, I hate to say this, but there's a lot of old country people, and especially, you know, old people that ain't, some of them ain't even been saved, and the family starts getting on up in years, and they say, man, honey, we're going to have to go down there and join the church, because sooner or later somebody in the family's going to die, and it's going to be awful embarrassing when we don't have a church for them to say that we belong to in the paper when some of our family members die. That's a sorry reason to belong to a church. I mean, just to have somebody to come and pat you on the back and serve you a meal and everything when somebody dies in the family, there's more to it than just that. I don't belong to a church just so they'll put it in the paper that I belong to a certain church. You know what? When I was in school, if you got most likely to succeed or something like that, which I didn't, but they usually the ones that gets that turns out the most unlikely to succeed anyway. And I'm not too sorry about that. I got most popular. I don't know if that was the right thing or not. And I realized that it was a devil that got me there. But anyway, in high school, when you get something like that, they used to put it in the annual where you went to church, you know, in the school newspaper, and it says, now so-and-so, she's our student of the month, and she's this and that, and she attends such-and-such Baptist church. And that looked good. And a lot of people just go to church once in a while, so just in case that they would have a place to say they go. But friends, church membership is not that at all. It's a part of what's going on. It's being a part of what God is doing in that certain place. I'd hate to know when the Lord come that I'm saved and everything and just sitting at home and not be a part of what God is doing in God's Word. Did you know that Jesus loved the church and died for the church? Did you know that the church is the most important organism on the face of this earth? That this church and other churches are the most important things in Marion, North Carolina. The church is what God thinks more of than anything in McDowell County this morning. I want you to know it's important. I'll tell you something else. If you're not a member of a church, it's too easy to lay out. You ever notice that? I know some people, they go to one church one Sunday, they go to another church the other Sunday, they go to another church the other Sunday, and they got that thing all worked out just right. So that whenever they want to kick out and go to the mountains one Sunday, this one will think they're at that one, and that one will think they're at that one, and the other one will think they're at that one, and nobody knows they laid out. Amen. And it's awful easy to lay out a church when you're not a member.
So let me encourage you here this morning. If you're not a member, I've never preached this before, I don't reckon, in this church, you ought to join the church. Or if you say, well, I just don't like this one, we'll find you one you do like and join in. You ought to be a part of what God is doing in a certain place and become involved in it. You won't always feel like a spectator. You won't always feel like an outsider. You won't always feel like a visitor. See, after you become a member, you say, well, I'm in this thing too, you know. I belong here too. I've got a seat too. I belong. But just as long as you're a visitor, you're just like a spectator. You just come and kind of watch what's going on from the outside. And you'll never be really satisfied until you become a part of what God is doing. All right, right quickly this morning, I want to bring you these thoughts on what it means to hold an office in a local church. What does it mean this morning? And after I get through this morning, the probably High Fire Sunday School teachers will want to resign. Probably the rest of you that was wanting a class won't want one after I get through with what I'm about to say. I believe we don't realize a lot of time what it means to hold an office in God's church. Now, in the Bible, there's only two offices mentioned in the church. Two official offices, that's a pastor and deacon. But we've got to the place now where we consider, you might say, Sunday school teachers, Sunday school superintendent, a secretary, clerk, piano player, I mean, the works considered an office. And even though they're not scripturally called offices this morning, we'll just maybe refer to them as a job, as a position in God's house. The word job means a definite piece of work to do. A definite piece of work to do, or a task. If you have a position in this church or any other church, you have a task to perform. You have a definite piece of work to do. Like right over here is your little piece of work. Like we're going to shine off this pulpit. And right here's my little part. And right here's Dale's. And right here's Dickie's. And right there's John. I've got my little part to shine off. I'm not responsible for theirs. I've got my little part. I've got to keep clean. That's what it means to have a job in a church. You have got your part of the load to carry. I've got my part of the load to carry. Did you know this morning that I'm not no more of a member of this church than any of the rest of you members? I'm not a bit more member than any of the other members. I have a different job than all the other members, but so do you. You have a different job than all the other members. And if you especially hold an office or a job or position in this church, you have a job that no other person has and that only you can do. I believe we need to look at it this morning. First of all, I believe it's a privilege. I believe it's a privilege to have a job in God's church. I tell you, brother, I don't believe you ought to have to twist somebody's arm to get them to hold a job in God's church. I believe if a person loves the Lord and tries to do right, I believe that it'll be a privilege to them how much they ought to be thankful. We don't realize how privileged we are to work for the house of God. Do you realize this morning the people that are in hospitals and they've been laying in, some of them, for years? One time we went over and visited a guy over in the VA hospital in Swannanoa. And he was a guy that had got both arms and both legs blew off in the war. And he didn't have nothing but just a body and a head. And he would lay there, and he was the most cheerful guy you ever seen in your life. He was always on cloud nine every time we went to visit him. Me and a couple other boys would visit him, and he'd call us Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Every time we'd go in there, about once a month, he'd say, there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego again. And he'd just cheer us up and go on with us and everything. And we'd get such a blessing from visiting him. And probably, unless they put him in a home taking care of him somewhere, that guy's still laying over there this morning, helpless, no hands, no feet. And he loves the Lord and loves the Bible. Do you realize this morning what a privilege it would be for that man to be able to stand up in front of a class and open the Bible and stand there and teach? Why, he'd shout, he'd tickle him to death. We don't realize what a privilege it is to be able to work in God's house. We could have something wrong with our voice. We could have something wrong where we couldn't walk, where we couldn't come to church, be confined to a wheelchair. It's a privilege this morning to be able to work in the house of God. But not only that, this morning, it's an honor. It's a great honor to be able to be a part of what God's doing in His house. I tell you, a lot of times I bow my head in shame and I get to thinking about what a mess I've made and how sorry and low down I am, and how many other people that God could have called maybe from another country or somewhere would no doubt serve Him with their heart more than I have. And I get to thinking, Lord, why did You put such an honorable position on me? And it makes me feel like about that high, because I realize what an honor it is to be able to serve in God's house. My friends, this morning, we ought to be thankful. It's a great honor to be able to serve in God's house. Did you know this morning, a lot of people think, well, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a deacon, I'm not a leader, I'm not the pastor, I'm just a member, I ain't much. But you realize this morning that it is an honor just to be a member of a church. I mean, it's an honor just to be a member of God's church in some place in this world. It's an honor. It's an honor because you get a vote. I mean, what was to fix it up in the United States where you couldn't vote? That they just put in who? Well, it's about the way it is anyway. But I mean, where nobody had a right to vote whatsoever, we'd have our honor took away from us. Do you realize this morning that it's honor for you because you're able to pray for a church? Because you're able to attend the church? Brother, if they had our churches over in Haiti the other week, my, you ought to see where them people worship God. We went to a place that one night, and brother, on the Sunday before we came home, they took us miles and miles out in the country. And we went out yonder, seemed like 100 miles from nowhere. And we finally got there, and there was just a little old hut. 4 big poles sticking up and some palm tree limbs on top of it. And all that was their place of worship. And just dirt floor. And that was the place where they had formerly had the voodoo services. And the preacher, when he first went there, found people's heads cut off and hands and stuff like that where they had sacrificed them. And he told me that, and I said, good night, let's get out of here. But anyway, we had to stay there for the services. And brother, I looked around there and I seen that dirt floor. And when we first pulled up out there, nobody had a car. There was one car at that service, and that was the pastor's truck. And me and him and Brother Paul was in the front, and there was about 10 or 12 in the back. And when we got up there and pulled up to that little church, there was a little old Coleman lantern hanging up, just living out a little light in the room. And there was about 60 people there, about 30 of them sitting inside and 30 of them sitting outside. And that's what they had to worship in. About right, I've been preaching about 10 minutes, and it started raining. And they just started scooting up in there. Everybody just scooted up under the tent until they just got right around in a little bitty huddle. And I got to thinking about that. And you know what they're doing? They're shouting around there, praising the Lord, barefooted, little old kid just going around there like that, just dancing around, waving her hand, and praising the Lord. And I got to thinking, on dirt floors, mosquitoes flying around in there and everything. And I thought, my soul, how thankful we ought to be a member, have the honor of just being a member of a church where God is blessing and where God has been good to us. It's an honor this morning just because you have voting power, just because you have praying power, just because you have attending power. Some people say, where you work? And then somebody says, I'm employed by the Department of Social Services. Don't that sound distinguished? And somebody says, oh boy. And every time you see her, say, she works for Social Services. You know, that sounds maybe important or something like that. And then somebody else comes along and they say, I'm a special appointment. I work for the government. Well, you know, so-and-so down that lives down the street, her husband works for the government. And that sounds important, don't it? And somebody comes along and they say, boy, he works for the FBI. And everybody in the community knows that man works for the FBI. He works for the Marion Police Department. He works for McDowell County Sheriff's Department. And people recognize that as a special job. And boy, they think, man, he's got a good job. You might have be on a special mission sent right from the governor himself. And people say, my, that's important. Or you might even say, I work for the president. And I'm the president's right-hand man. And people look at you and say, see the guy going down the street over there? He works for the president. My, he knows the president personally. And he works for him. He goes goes and runs errand from him. And I wonder what it's like just to sit around the president's office and listen to him talk. And people really think that's something. But did you know this morning, brother, if you're a janitor in a local church and you don't do nothing but come and clean out the commodes once a week, that you're to walk down the street, brother, with your chest stuck out, and somebody say, who do you work for? You say, I work for God in his house. I'm employed by the Lord God Almighty. And somebody look at you and say, my, what it must be like to be able to work for the King of Kings. What it must be like to be able to sit in there and talk to him every Sunday and to be able to fellowship him. There's people in the world that envy us this morning, folks. People riding up and down here the road this morning and drunk with a hangover from last night, and deep down inside they're envying us, wishing they was up here having the fellowship, having the peace, having the joy, having the good time that we're having serving God. They're envying us this morning, and some of you look like you eat pickles for breakfast. Just a long bunch of sour pusses. I want you to know, friend, it's an honor to be able to work in the house of God. I want them to eat, brother, and we go to the airport and we go to a place we shouldn't feel inferior to nobody. Right. I want you to know, brother, I work for the King of Kings. That's who I work for. I don't work for New Manna Baptist Temple. I work for the Lord. He's just my position of work right here. Amen. I want you to know, my dear friend, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a clerk, if you're assistant choir leader, if you're assistant this, or you just hold the least position in the house of God, you are employed by the King of Kings, and you ought to be thankful for it. I tell you, I want to read you a verse of Scripture, Psalm 84. Look what David said. Turn back in the book of Psalms, chapter 84. This verse always has kind of grabbed me. I tell you, David was a king. David was a rich man. David had anything he wanted. Now I want to tell you what he said. Look at Psalm chapter 84 and verse 10. David said, for a day in thy courts, Psalm 84, 10. David said, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You know what David was saying? He said, I see all them big shots out there. I see all Hollywood and them flashing lights and names in the paper and big screen making millions of dollars. But he said, if I had my choice, I'd just rather be the man that stands back there on Sunday morning and opens the door and lets people come into the house of God than I had to be a movie star. Or I had to be a wicked person and prospering in this world. Do you realize this morning, folks, what that means? That means that it is a greater job and it's a greater important blessing for you just to stand back on Sunday morning and open the door for people as they come in. That's a greater job, brother, than to be the president or to be the governor or to be the mayor or to be the sheriff. It's better just to be a doorkeeper in the house of God than it is to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I tell you, boys, we ought to be thankful for that. I mean, I'm just thankful that I get a say from what goes on. I mean, can you realize God looking down here and saying, all right, I'm going to let you folks handle this thing. I'm going to let you occupy till I come. I'm going to let you watch over things and giving us the right and us the honor of taking care of his work on earth. Oh, brother, there's a lot of folks that don't be one of these people that there'll be some people. I hope we don't have many like that at our church, but we probably do. Don't be one of these people that don't even come Saturday night and then gripe about what we need to do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. I could stand that type of person. Yeah. Never show up, never vote, and then turn around and grumble and complain about the decisions that were made. Amen. You've got to vote, brother. Come here and put your 2 cents worth in. Amen. And if not, keep your mouth shut about what goes on. That's about like these people that don't even tithe and gripe about where we spend the money. Say amen. That's usually the kind that does it, the one that don't give a dime themselves. And I'm here to tell you this morning, friends, that it's an honor to be able to do something in the house of God. I believe I ought to perk up and wake up. Now, I don't think you ought to be a smart aleck. I've told you over and over and over that when we do something in God's house, I believe, brother, I don't believe in causing no trouble. I believe we ought to dwell in peace. I believe in going along with things. Unless it's a matter of sin and definite contradiction against the Scripture, I believe, brother, the majority ought to rule. I'm here to say this morning, if we got in here Saturday night and somebody said, I believe we ought to get green coffee, and I'd stand up here and I'd say, well, I might not say it, but I'd say green. Personally, with these blue windows and everything, really, green wouldn't look all that good. But if somebody in here said we want to get green carpet, and I said everybody in favor of green carpet, let it be known by an uplift to them, and 85% of people said green, I'd say, amen, I'm casting my vote in there. We'll get green. Even though it may be against my own personal desire, I want to go along with the way God's church is moving. Now, I'll tell you where you can butt. If they come up here Saturday night and somebody said, Brother Danny, I make a motion that we put a jukebox in the basement and we start having a dance for the kids on Saturday night to keep them out of the other hell hole. I would stand up if 85% of the church said yes. I'd stand up and say no over my dead body. It'll not happen. I believe in a matter like that, it's a time to stand and say no to the devil and brother what he would say. But as far as making decisions of what color toilet paper to buy and the color of curtains, brother, that ought not to cause no trouble and go on with what the church wants to do. I'll tell you what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite that goes ahead is somebody that goes ahead and votes for somebody and then the next week says, well, I just don't see why they got him.
Amen.
I tell you, I didn't like him. He can't teach. I'd have done a better job than he could. She'd have done a better job. I just don't see why they have to get the same. Looks like they do this. Looks like they do that. We're going to give you a chance to say something Saturday night. And if you don't say it then, keep shut up about it next week on the telephone. And the next after that on the telephone. I believe, brother, there's a lot of people. You know, there's a lot of people, and I thank God you just not like that at our church, but after probably 20 years it will be, if we're here that long. A lot of churches have been going for years and years. There's members that don't show up for 6 months until they come to vote on something. And I mean, they'll get to vote on the preacher, they'll get to vote on this or that, and brother, they'll come around there, and they'll round up all them old people that ain't been in 6 months and say, come on, boys, we're going to go this way. We're going to go vote that way. It ain't nothing but, you know, it's about like crooked politics. This is the way a lot of churches are handled. And brother, people that don't come regular ain't got a bit of business even saying a word or voting or anything. That's how come at this church, if you don't hear from them 3 months, they dropped off the road. We probably dropped more than we still got on there but at least we're not carrying around a bunch of dead weight and a bunch of driftwood. I'm here to tell you this morning, friend, if some people, when they hear that word vote, that perks them up. I had a preacher friend of mine one time that made the mistake of even letting them vote on him to start with, his pastor. That's between him and God. And brother, he just went to see that and this went to see that, and they politicked and here and persuaded this and that way and everything, and everybody showed up. People hadn't been there in 6 months showed up to vote. And I want you to know, I don't believe the Lord's pleased with that. I don't. Some people just staying at home waiting until things change at the church, and when it changes they want it, they're going to come back. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a pitiful, ain't that a real good dedicated Christian? You know that's the way the Lord wants a person to be. Just get on with what God's doing. You know what? I heard a story one time of a guy that was going to vote. And, brother, this guy sat and slept every Sunday morning. Slept through the whole service. And there's one magic word that would wake him up besides, "You're dismissed." And that was vote. And, brother, when somebody mentioned that word, vote, I mean, he'd perk up there. And he's sitting back there one Sunday taking his usual snooze. And he's back under gone, brother, just gone completely asleep. And the preacher was going to say, "We need some new light fixtures. These old ones, they're worn out and got rusty and everything. We need to replace them with some new ones." And he said, "We're going to bring this thing to a vote this Sunday and get this thing over with to buy pretty new shiny light fixtures for our church." And he said, "Is anybody opposed to this thing in any way?" And about that time he heard that word "opposed" and "vote," he popped up and woke up and he said, "Oh, I'm against it. Oh, preacher, I'm against it 100%. I'm just standing against that thing." And they said, "Well, what's wrong, brother? We're going to give you a chance. Just calm down a little bit. What's wrong? Why are you opposed to it in such a arrogant way?" And he said, "I'm against it for 3 reasons." He said, "First of all, we got nobody that can play it." And he said, "Second of all, we can't afford it." And he said, "Third, really what I think we need in this church is some new light fixtures. Because these old ones is wore out and we just don't need them anymore." And you'll wind up getting yourself into a mess like that too if you don't come regular and find out what's going on. I don't believe in troublemaking. I don't believe in causing a stink, but I do believe in becoming a part of what God's doing and casting your part in God's Word. But I believe this morning that it's more important to work for God's house than the White House. I believe it's more important to work for God's house than the jailhouse. I believe it's more important to work for God's house than the courthouse. Now I want to become a part of what God is doing in His church. But then and finally this morning, I want to give you this and I'll close. I believe that what it means to hold an office in a local church, it is a responsibility. I've confessed this sin in my life. I believe, you know, a lot of times in the Old Testament, the preacher would get down and would confess the sins of the people. "I've confessed this sin for New Manor Baptist Temple. There's one sin that we're guilty of. I'm starting from me, going all the way down to the last one. There's one sin that I know." I mean, if there was only one, we'd be in good shape. But this is one that I want to mention. One sin that we're guilty of as a church, and that is this: taking our job too lightly. I'm starting with me going right on down. We've all been guilty, and you know it as well as I know it, of not taking our job as seriously as we ought to take it. Many times we just let our jobs go. That's why in the book of Haggai chapter 1, the prophet cried out, and he said, "You people, every one of you goes into your own house, and the house of the Lord lieth waste." He said, the house of God's lying waste, and it needs work. Nobody's gone wrong to work on their own house. He said, the house of God's grass needs mowing, and everybody at home mowing their own grass. He said, the windows need to be painted on the outside, everybody's at home a-painting. He said, God's house needs to be fixed, and everybody runs to their own house. We've been guilty of taking our job too lightly in this church. I believe that this morning. I believe, brother, that we all might even have to let ours go to see that God's house is took care of. How many of you going to have heat in your house this summer? I mean this winter. Just, I guess, everybody in here. You know, if we don't get to work, God's house ain't going to have no heat upstairs. How many of you have got your windows painted at home? If we don't get to work, God's house windows ain't going to be painted on the outside before wintertime. We take our jobs too lightly. We're too busy. We got too many irons in the fire. We're going too many places, doing too many things. But I want you to know, my dear friend, we are to take our job seriously that God's given us to do. I want you to know, before you accept the office, before you accept the job Saturday night or any other time, make sure, first of all, that your heart's right with God. Don't you accept a job if your heart's not right. I mean, if you're living for the devil and you're living a double life and you're living out there in sin and then coming into church and living for the Lord, Don't accept a job if your life is not right. You know, when they made a man a priest in the Old Testament, he had to be right. He had to be doing right. He couldn't have a blemish. He couldn't have a broke leg. He couldn't have any kind of a fault on him. He had to be a perfect specimen of a man before they put him in the Word. I want you to know, my dear friends, that's what we'll be looking for. And that's what God's going to be looking for. When He wants a man to teach the class, when He wants a lady to stand over those little children and teach those little kids His eternal Word. He's not looking for a dirty vessel. He's looking for a clean vessel. He's looking for a clear pipe that it can flow through and reach those children in a way that'll be pleasing unto them. Be willing. Don't accept. Hey, listen. Don't accept the teacher's position Sunday night. Don't say, okay, I'll accept it. And then come to me Sunday and say, now, Brother Danny, I won't be able to make it on Wednesday nights. I'd like to, but I just won't be able. Just don't bother accepting it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I tell you what, brother, if we operated God's house like the rest of the employers do their workers in this community, we'd have just about all teachers fired in 6 months' time. I asked a guy last night that works at Baxter. I said, how long do you stay out at Baxter before you get fired without calling in? He said, 3 days. 3 days, and you don't call in, and you don't have a doctor's excuse, you ain't got no job no more. Well, I thought would mean Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That's three services. If we operated just like Baxter Laboratory, and I believe God ought to be a whole lot more stronger than Baxter Laboratory.
Amen.
Some of you are sitting there just scared to death wondering what I'm going to say next.
Amen.
Everything's going to be all right. We'll be through in just a few minutes. I'm comparing you something. If we operated like Baxter Laboratory, if a Sunday school teacher didn't show up Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, unless they had a doctor's excuse, they wouldn't have a class the next Sunday morning. Clinchfield does the same thing. 3 days without calling in, you're out. 3 strikes, you're out, brother. And there's a lot of people, and there's places that are even more strict than that. Some plants and communities you work for, if you're not there when 7 o'clock comes and you don't call in sick, brother, your job's gone. And yet we have teachers that just stay out and never call to let anybody know where they've been. Don't even bother to call it sick. You know, there's some people that stay out so much you don't even know when they're sick.
Right. Amen.
And when they really are sick, they get mad because you don't come see them. And you didn't know they're sick because it wasn't a half time no way.
Amen.
Amen. How you think I can read minds or something? You think, brother, I can see everywhere at once? No, sir. That's why I believe that it's important, especially if you're a teacher, especially if you're a deacon, that every time those doors open, you trot your little self through them things. You say, oh, Brother Danny, if you're that mean and if you're that strong, they won't nobody accept the class but about maybe two of these boys. All right, that's the way it is. We'll just have 2 classes. Let everybody, all the men come up here, all the kids go downstairs, and let the 2 that are faithful teach each group. I'm here to tell you this morning, brother, don't you accept the position and then say, now, Brother Danny, there'll be a lot of times I just won't be able to make it. You should never accept it if it's going to be that. What if you get a job at Baxter and boss man say, all right, you'll be here Monday morning at 7 o'clock. And you said, now I thank you for hiring me and everything, but I want you to know about probably usually on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays, I won't be able to come. You'd say, really? You'd say, yeah, now I thank you for giving me the job, and I want to do my best. But see, I'm working another job part-time, and on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, I'll not be able to. You think you'd say, well, that's all right, we understand. Well, of course not. You know better than that. And yet the Lord's people come to God's house and tell the preacher, now, preacher, I won't be here next Sunday. I'm going over here to see Grandma. You try telling your boss man you went to see Grandma Monday morning, see what he says. That's how come people go see Grandma on Sunday and not on Monday.
Amen.
They know they can get by with it on God, and they can't get by with it that boss man they got at work. Amen, Danny. Thank you, sir. That's how come they lay out on Sunday and go to grandma's because they know they can get by with it. But I want you to know one of these days God's going to call you, Kev, and God's going to call you up at judgment, and He'll say, "You laid out of my house. You wasn't sick. You didn't feel bad. You laid at home." And then you'll give an account for it. I want you to know, my dear friend, it's important if you're a Sunday school teacher. Now, I realize I'm the pastor and I'm not here every service. Sometimes God's got me doing something else somewhere. If I'm not here, I'm preaching somewhere else. Or I'm going for a certain job. I realize there's time. I believe a person deserves a vacation. I believe a person deserves a time just to get Jesus and His disciples. Just went off in the wilderness sometime, just let everything go. I want you to know on a regular scale and on a regular routine, I believe you ought to be faithful to your work. I believe you ought to be faithful to your job. And if something comes up and one of the kids is deathly sick or you just can't make it, you ought to be able to get up and call that assistant and say, "I can't make it. You'll have to teach tomorrow, this weekend." And let them know so that somebody will come in being prepared to teach the people and the Word of God will be taught. Many times, you know, when you first get a class, boy, you're really on fire. I mean, them front of Sundays, you study, man. You study all week long. And boy, you're really prepared. But after a few months, you get thinking, well, it'll be the same little old kids. Them little old kids don't listen no way. And you start letting up. And you start not preparing. And you start just thinking, well, on Saturday night, about 12 o'clock, just writing down a few little things, I can get by with it there. And you fool around the first 15 minutes taking prayer requests and hoping the clock will go faster so you won't have to teach. And keep saying, fool around, take up the offering, and fool around, fool around, fool around. Let everybody give a word of testimony and fool around, sing a song and do everything. And then, all right, now listen, we'll read this verse of scripture. And the Lord said, "I love you, dismissed." You ever been in a Sunday school class like that? It ain't no wonder it won't grow. I mean, brother, the only reason people come to a school class like that is because of obligation. That's the only reason they come. I believe, brother, if you go to a good restaurant and they serve you good meals, I believe when you get hungry again, you'll go back to that place and eat again. I believe if you go to a restaurant and you get an old mess, oh, that you can't hardly eat, and God hires all in it, and everything else, you won't be going back there very long, very soon. I believe if you'll go to a church, brother, where you'll be fed the truth and seeing somebody live an example before you and be there every service, I believe you'll come back. I believe that for more. That's why it's so important that teachers be here. You know why? It's because them little kids that teacher stands in front of week after week after week are watching that man. You may not realize it, teacher, but those little kids, they look at you and they say, "There's my Sunday school teacher." And you look real big to them. And if them little kids' mom and daddy brings them on Wednesday night, and they look around and say, "Where's my Sunday school teacher?" And the next Wednesday night they look and say, "Where's my Sunday school teacher?" They'll grow up with that in their mind. That their Sunday school teacher didn't think it was important to go to church on Wednesday night. And so when their Sunday school teacher stands in front of them and teaches, and they say, "Well, she's a good godly woman. He's a good godly man. And the Lord bless them." Their Sunday school teacher, they don't come on Wednesday night. It's not important for me to come on Wednesday night. Right. Because of the influence that you have on our children. Did you know there's certain places that me as a preacher, I could go? But I won't go on account just because I'm a preacher and the influence that I might have on somebody else. There's places that I could go that actually scripturally wouldn't even be wrong and that I could do and not feel a bit bad about. But I won't do it on account of my influence. That it might have the wrong influence on somebody else. And did you know Sunday school class teachers are in that very same category? Deacons are in that very same category. You have to watch your life out here in the world. There's many things that you could do, that you would enjoy doing, that you wouldn't even feel bad about doing. But if you do, you'll hurt your influence as a Christian and as a teacher. And you'll have to make up your mind to please God and leave off the things. I believe that this morning. I believe that with all of my heart. Jack Hiles tells his Sunday school teachers, You think I'm mean. What if you had him for your pastor? He tells his Sunday school teachers, "Don't you call in it, crawl in, see." He said, Terry Bradshaw and them guys, can play a football game in below zero weather in the Super Bowl with 103 temperature and just barely able to stand up and get out there and work for 3 solid hours throwing that football and it 10 degrees below zero. And I believe God's people ought to be able to come and stand up and teach God's Word with their nose running. Amen. You ought to be able to stand up and say, Jesus loves you, even if you got a headache, don't you? Amen. I believe God's Word. You believe one Sunday morning's here in this church is more important than the Super Bowl in the eyes of God. You believe that? I do. I believe one Sunday morning here in this church is more important in God's sight than all the Super Bowls put together. I want you to know, my dear friend, one of these days, the Bible said that be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. That means a person in leadership, a person in position of authority, they are going to receive more severe judgment than just the average guy. And I believe it's important that we live up to our job and our calling. Another thing we're going to do, after this weekend, we're going to have teachers' meetings. And you know who's supposed to come to teachers' meetings? Teachers. Amen. Somebody said, why don't we get together and have some meetings and get something organized? I'll tell you why. You want to know? Because we can't get nobody to stay for a meeting. That's why. I've tried it a bunch of times. You go in Monday morning and your boss man says, everybody on your line, we're having an important meeting this afternoon at 3 o'clock. You go in there and say, well, I'm tired. I want to go on home and see what he says. You say, well, I got supper to cook. And you see what he says. He'll say, don't bother to come back tomorrow. We'll have teachers' meetings and teachers will be here. We'll have deacons' meetings and deacons will be here. You're supposed to come to deacons' meeting? Deacons. Why is it that we can't get nobody to come to a meeting? Take our job too lightly. That's why. Right. You know, there's some churches that have a certain teacher's meeting, like, say, on maybe Saturday night once a month. Or maybe, say, Tuesday night once a month. And I mean every teacher and every assistant has got to be there. Can you imagine in the past 6 months, if I'd have got up here and say, all the Sunday school teachers be here for meeting Tuesday night, you think how many would have come? You know what's wrong? Taking our jobs too lightly. Taking our jobs too lightly. And I want to close this morning by saying what it means to hold an office in a local church. The Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. If you're not going to do it with your might, lay it down. Let somebody else pick it up that will and can. That's between you and the Lord about your job. I'm not telling nobody what to do or what not to do. That's between you and the Lord. If you feel like God wants you to teach, praise the Lord. If you feel like He don't, I don't want you to. I want you to do what God wants you to do. I don't want you just try to please me or impress me. I want you to do what God wants you to do. You understand? Don't you say, well, I better take my class, for if I don't, Daniel, think I'm backslid. Don't think like that. You do what God wants you to do. And please Him in your heart. Because Sunday after Sunday, I wouldn't want you standing up there just to please me because it'd be miserable to you and boring to the people that live. But you do what God wants you to do and everything will be took care of. Amen. I believe it's important to hold an office in a local church. I really believe that. And I believe it's time for us to take our job seriously. Just like we do that job at most tomorrow morning. And you watch and see if Sunday school don't pick up. You watch and see if things don't being more lively and real when God's people really put their hand to the plow and work for the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I just want Shirley to come to the piano and play a verse softly this morning. We'll not have any singing. Maybe if you come expecting to hear a sermon on heaven or something, come back tonight. I don't know what we'll be having. But this message was for our church. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not even a part of the church. And God spoke to your heart this morning and said, you ought to get in there and become a part of it. I'd encourage you to do that. Maybe you're here this morning, maybe you've been slack on your job and you just want to come to this altar and Say, Lord, I want to do it with my might. The little job that you've given me to do. Lord, I don't do nothing but take up the offering in my class. But God, I want to do that the best of my ability. Lord, I don't do nothing but just sweep the floor. But I want to do that to the very best of my ability. Lord, I don't do nothing but stand back there and open the door to people when they come in on Sunday morning. But I want to be the very best door opener that I can be for them. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, just come on to this altar. Say, whatsoever my hand finds to do, I'll do it with my might. And I'll guarantee you God will bless you if you'll make that surrender. Take your job more seriously. Let God speak to your heart this morning. Join these on the altar. Maybe God's been dealing with you about a certain thing. Maybe you've been slack on God in certain areas. You just want to come and get that thing settled. Very, very important. It's important that you be a part of what God's doing. It's important. As long as you're an outsider, you can't really grow like you should until you become a part of what God's doing. I believe that we'll see God's work grow and prosper if we'll put our hand to the plow and bow down and work. I believe that this morning. I believe if we'll look at every Sunday morning standing before that little class of kids as a challenge, as a privilege, as an honor to be able to teach. I believe if we'll get up on Sunday morning and say, thank God, God's given me a Sunday morning that I can go to Sunday school. Amen. I'm glad to get to go to Sunday school. I believe the Lord will be pleased with that. Anybody else? Before we pray, we're going to have prayer with these. You'll never, if you're saved, you'll never really be satisfied as long as you're outside where God wants you to be. You won't. I guarantee it. How about it, friend? Somebody else. We're going to let her finish about one more course and we're going to pray. How about it? Is God speaking to your heart this morning? God speaking to your heart. If He is. How about it, friend? How about it? How about it? We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Take it seriously. This is God's business. Wait about 5 seconds. We're going to pray. You're coming. Come now. Maybe you've just been loose. Maybe you've just been showing up Sunday morning. You want to come and say, by God's grace, I'm going to straighten up. Sunday night, Wednesday night. Visitation night. Deep down inside, I know I ought to be in here. Brother Danny, I'm just deliberately laying out. If you'll confess it, God will help you. If you don't, you'll never grow until you do. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for these that have come. Lord, I don't know what their commitments may be or what their desires may be, but I'm glad that you do. And I pray that you would meet them right now by the power of God. I pray, Lord, that every one of them will be satisfied, that you would reveal to them what your will is for their life. Help them to know exactly where you want them. And God, give them strength to do the job. Lord, help us, Lord, to take our job seriously. Lord, I ask you to forgive our sin, Lord, of taking our job too lightly. Help us, dear God, to be devoted to a work, to a cause. Help us not to be late and drag around and come in late, Lord. Help us, God, to be on time and be faithful and to be working and vigilant and alive in the work of God. Help us, dear God, not to be grumbling, complaining, and griping about this and that. Lord, God, forgive us of our wicked ways. And help us, dear God, to be thankful for what you have done. And thank you for the honor that you've given us just to serve you in this place. Lord, I pray you bless the church. Add to it daily such as should be saved. Cause it to grow and glow and grow for the glory of God. Whatever you do for us, we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.